Just a minute. I'm coming.
FBI, open up!
Just a minute. Hello, everybody. This is Legal Man. Welcome to the show. This is going to be a good episode. I'm going to use a piece of audio from a very famous constitutional conservative, probably the leading constitutional conservative lawyer in the country, certainly in media, bar none, to show people the deception that constitutional conservatism is, and to show people how they very subtly mislead people. And for people who don't know me, I'm a lawyer. I'm America's most trusted and beloved lawyer because I tell them the truth. And the truth is, I was a constitutional conservative, a believer in all the same stupid shit about the liberty, the miracle, the document, and the founders, and everything else for years and years and years and years. Promoted it, believed in it, told people about it, made a complete ass of myself, basically. And then about 25 years ago, I got the internet. And in fairly short order, I started figuring out it was all a complete and total con, a grift to keep me on a tax-paying plantation. And when I figured that out, I became self-certified as a master practitioner. And I don't need constitutional conservatives anymore. I've also given myself a Lifetime Achievement Award for the incredible work I've done on this podcast with hundreds and hundreds of shows explaining the way the system actually fits together. I've also, when Jones Plantation came out, given myself a Presidential Medal of Freedom Award, which is the highest medal that any civilian can be awarded, and I awarded that to myself for the incredible job I did on that movie. And I love having fake awards and credentials and things like that, because all this credentialing and awards and officialdom is just nonsense. It's a control system to make sure that people have to learn officialdom, regurgitate officialdom, and as soon as you step outside of officialdom, then they take your license, certification, registration. You're no longer able to make a living. They destroy you professionally. And everybody saw that happen with COVID. Out in public, any doctors and nurses and anybody in academia who questioned the lies they were telling us. But they use it in every system. Lawyers are absolutely no different, all the way down to people who cut your fingernails and do manicures on you. You have to have a license to do that as well. And I think people need to mock this system so they can see what a joke it is, this appeal to authority. It's a fraud all the way down. And they have to keep such a tight control on it because all the information they give people is just lies. So they have to be able to destroy people who try to expose them. And so hopefully people will catch on and do that. All right. Well, beyond that, I want to get the show going. There's some cat meowing in there. Whenever I get worked up about the lies that constitutional conservatives tell, they often get very active. So you may hear some of that in the background. I apologize for that. My cats are big time anarchists. All right. Let's go ahead and get the show going. So I'm going to make a show today, and I'm going to use some clips from The Great One and show people how incredibly deceptive the information you get from these constitutional conservatives is, how they push people in a direction that sounds right. And most people are not well enough educated in the area to understand the mistakes that are being made, so-called mistakes, and the intentional confusion and the driving you into a dead end ditch that they do. And I just heard this piece of audio. I'm very rarely in my car for a lot of time during the day, but I happen to be in my car often when this show plays in the late afternoon drive time. And I was only in the car for about 10 or 15 minutes total, and some of that was split up. But I heard this clip, and it had to do with natural rights. And of course, it was all being discussed because of Trump and this ridiculous $355 million fine or whatever it is from that ridiculous case where there's nobody complaining and the state's demanding he be fined for making a so-called misrepresentation that the other party wasn't complaining about. It's all utterly absurd. You can't have fraud unless there's a fraudulent representation that someone else relies upon to their own detriment. And since the person that was relying upon it was the bank and they were perfectly happy and they didn't consider it to be fraudulent and there were no damages, there was no fraud. But of course, in the magical world of made-up laws that we live in, these fake laws, these absurd, arbitrary things that jokers write down and then the people are supposedly made to follow, they can just call it fraud, and the fraud then has to be a fine to the government. And now they're going to raise these Eighth Amendment arguments with excessive fines and not allowed to have improper bail and cruel and unusual punishment and crap like that. That's the amendment they want to go to. Of course, it's a state court, so it's really nonsensical in a thousand ways. But his piece of audio I want to play, and I haven't quite decided how much of I want to play. The total piece that I might play ends up being about 5.5 minutes out of a, you know, whatever, 3-hour show, but I may not play all of it. It just depends. But he made some points that when he was saying them, I just like, whoa, what? And they fit so perfectly with the information I just been reading about Spooner with his Unconstitutionality of Slavery essay discussing what is law. What is law itself, and why it is that these guys constantly deflect people into this dead end, basically calling law anything that the government has written down under the correct so-called procedure, under the holy Constitution. And they just ignore all the Spooner-esque issues that Spooner does raise regarding consent and how this thing could ever be a law when it simply violates people's natural rights. And he touches on it, but it's such a great clip about all the stuff they leave out and the way they mislead people. So I want to play some of it, and let's see how far I get, because it's really, really good stuff. So let's go ahead and start. He's, like I said, he's been talking about the Eighth Amendment, why it exists, and then he goes into property rights. He often does this kind of thing. He gives this sort of legal lecture like a professor, just like that Joker from PragerU or any of these other people. They're erstwhile experts. And this man knows a huge amount about the Constitution, huge amount about it. But he's a master deceiver when it comes to the real rights that you have. And he never, ever, ever discusses Spooner. Instead, he chooses Bastiat later on in order to reference that, because Bastiat was French, of course, and he didn't write about the Constitution. And Spooner writes about the same things Bastiat does, but clearer and better, and shows how they apply the U.S. Constitution and their utter shit, that the Constitution is crap. So let's go ahead and play this first clip. Let's start it out and see how far we get.
They would use an attack on their private property. The Crown needed money. The Crown wanted to punish people who spoke out against the Crown. And on and on and on.
Okay, this is the Eighth Amendment.
They would use an attack on their private property.
Right, this is why they needed the Eighth Amendment, he's claiming.
To shut them up or destroy them.
They were worried about the federal government.
That's why private property rights were so crucial.
Yes.
When this nation was founded, among other reasons.
This is a great example. So he talks about private property rights, which of course is exactly what Spooner talks about. But you're going to hear how deceptive it really is. It makes it sound like he's for these private individual rights, but then you'll see how he gets everybody off into a ditch.
Your private property, mm-hmm. your home, your cars, whatever.
Yes. Uh-huh.
What does that represent?
Yes. Good question. What does it actually represent? It gives the correct answer, and then you'll see how he leaves it out.
Just some theory about capitalism? No, much more than that.
We don't have capitalism. See, here's a great example. We don't have capitalism. That fake money system, there's no capitalism in this country. They completely and totally control the money you must use through legal tender laws, and the money is totally and completely fake. So we don't have capitalism, because when every single transaction must be conducted in this fake money, there's no capitalism. There's no free exchange of goods on top of all the insane regulations and tax and everything else. It's a complete and total distortion of what capitalism is. But there it is. They always say that kind of thing, and they always leave it out, because this man will never attack the fundamental fraud that is the system, because he's there and he's there supporting it. That's all there is to it. All right, let's continue.
What does capitalism represent?
Yes, what does it represent?
They represent this, America.
Okay.
How many of you work for a living?
Absurd, right?
Everybody. How many of you have worked but are now retired?
Okay.
Did you get up in the morning and go to work and come back at night? Did you do it 5 days a week? Did you work one job, two jobs?
None of that has anything to do with capitalism, of course. You have to do that in a communist country. So it literally had nothing to do with capitalism. But listen to his point, which ultimately he gets around to and then distorts.
Did you spend 20, 30, 40 years on the job? It represents your freedom. That is, your application of your time on earth.
Yes.
Physical and intellectual application.
Yes. Physical and intellectual application. 100% true. Correct. That's what it actually represents. You own yourself and you do this stuff. So his explanation continues, and he's right.
Of your humanity.
Yes. Limited
of time. Your time on earth.
Right.
Towards the production of something.
Completely. That's what it does.
For which you are compensated.
Yes. Exactly. It's 100%. This is your time and effort and skills and everything else. That's exactly what it is. Your private property, your time, your effort.
It's a unique skill or not a unique skill. We only have a limited amount of time on this earth.
All correct.
That's why James Madison talked about private property more broadly than actual physical, tangible property.
Okay, so he's laid it out, and he's right, but then, of course, he goes into this James Madison horse shit like they always do. As soon as he said all that, I was like, oh, okay, so that's all true. Absolutely. How's he going to apply this, considering that the government treats you as their personal slave through the income tax system, which he never discusses, and he talks about later about illegitimate. So listen to what he talks about when he's talking about private property. He's dead right. Yes, this is what your private property. You own yourself. This is the entire Spooner-esque argument that he twists.
He said you have private property in your being, in your existence.
Yes.
And what he meant by that is people do not have the right to impose illegitimate demands on you.
Ah, illegitimate. People do not have the right to do this. This is exactly the Spooner argument. This is exactly what Bastiat was talking about later that he completely distorts. You're right. They don't. But for him, all these things government does somehow gets magically legitimized by the phony baloney Constitution, exactly what Spooner points out. That is, has no legitimacy. It has absolutely no legitimacy. The Constitution of no authority. This is a fundamental misunderstanding of consent, making it into this idea that if you vote, you get one vote, that somehow you've consented. But you hear how he lays it out all correctly. That your private property is this and you own your life and it's all valuable and you spend your time on, you have a limited amount. All true. 100%. Completely 100% true. And nobody has a right to make an illegitimate claim on it. Well, what is an illegitimate claim? That's where he distorts everybody. For him, the legitimate claim is there anything government legitimately makes under the Constitution. If they write down some arbitrary shit, that's a legitimate claim on you. But nothing else. Oh, okay. Well, since nobody could have ever delegated that right to anybody, because nobody has that right to simply write down some amount and say you owe it to me and all the other crazy shit that government does, his definition is completely and totally screwed up of a legitimate claim. That's where he gets you. See, that's where he gets you. He gets everybody to assume that anything the government does under the Constitution, correctly so-called, under the procedures of the Constitution, is a legitimate claim. And that's how they get you. That's how they get you in this arbitrary crap. So you can see how he uses all the correct stuff, and then just right at the end, he turns you and runs you into a ditch, and the people will never catch on to that. They'll never catch on to that. And just think how outrageous it is. Now, I want to play a little bit more of it, and then I want to make a point about the income tax, show you how screwed up all this is.
And what he meant by that is?
What Madison meant.
People do not have the right to impose illegitimate demands on you.
Right.
Government does not have that right.
Oh, you hear this? So he's even getting it better. He's even getting it closer. That's exactly what they say. And he still ignores it. He still acts as though anything government does procedurally correctly, it has a legitimate claim to. That is absolutely turning Bastiat on his head, who he then later cites. Government has no right to make an illegitimate claim on you. Right, they don't. And that's why they prove that all these things that are natural laws are what have to constrict government, not the phony baloney Constitution with its arbitrary interpretations and the Eighth Amendment, which you wouldn't need if anybody understood the real principles. You see how deceptive this is? Do you see how deceptive this is? I want to play back a little bit more of it just so you can get it all at once, because I think it's really, really helpful to hear it all at once. Now that we've talked about it a little, let's listen to part of that again.
It represents your freedom. That is your application of your time on earth.
Uh-huh.
Physical and intellectual application.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Of your humanity.
Right.
Of your time on earth, mm-hmm, towards the production of something.
Yes.
For which you are compensated.
Right.
It's a unique skill. Or not a unique skill.
Right.
We only have a limited amount of time on this earth.
Yes.
That's why James Madison talked about private property more broadly than actual physical, tangible property.
Right.
He said you have private property in your being, in your existence.
So damning.
And what he meant by that is people do not have the right to impose illegitimate demands on you.
Illegitimate.
Government does not have that right.
Oh, this is so damaging to them.
So when you work hard and you purchase a home and you pay a mortgage every month, that represents your freedom, your liberty. That represents your humanity.
What about the property tax? You never own your home. They just take it over and over again as though they own the land. No mention of that. See, that's legitimate. That's legitimate. But look at income tax. You heard his definition. You own yourself, your being, all your rights, your skills, and everything else. And then what does the government come along and do? It taxes you at any rate it cares to, with the assumption, the basic assumption of all income tax when it comes to individuals, is that all of your income, which is supposedly what he just described, your own personal right to freedom, which you create in exchange for all the skills you have and giving up your time, this limited amount of time, all of that belongs to the government unless they choose to allow you to keep some of it. That's the entire basis for income tax, which he never mentions. And the idea that government has any authority to do that is ludicrous. Your wage, what you exchange for your time, labor, freedom, skills, it's not income. It's not something above and beyond. Corporations, if they had to live by the same rules as individuals, they wouldn't be able to deduct any of the things that they do. They wouldn't be able to deduct hiring a CEO to operate it or paying anybody. They wouldn't be able to deduct any of it. How could they then operate? They couldn't. They wouldn't be able to. Well, why aren't you allowed to deduct out all of the time, labor, and effort you get in your exchange for your salary? Why? Because it's an arbitrary made-up rule. It's an arbitrary made-up rule. Under the income tax, the government's position is that it owns all of your labor to the extent that it cares to keep any of it. And in fact, income tax rates have been as high as 90% in the past. They've been as high as 90%. Now, of course, they have 1,000 exemptions, deductions, and everything else built into them, but they claim they're entitled to 90% cut. This is a great example of the way they completely and totally mislead people by acting like they're talking about these universal principles of natural right, Bastiat, illegitimate claims. Well, that's why the devil's always in the details. That's why I've been doing that Spooner essay. Because the issue is, what is a legitimate claim? What does that mean? Well, if you read Bastiat, it's certainly nothing like what this guy is saying. He's literally turning Bastiat on its head. And Spooner, he never brings up, because Spooner does an actual analysis of the U.S. Constitution and shows that all of that crap is totally illegitimate, has no legitimate authority whatsoever. But under the con scam, what they do is they describe a legitimate claim to be any arbitrary thing that the government does, so-called under the Constitution, procedurally correctly. That's how they screw you. See, that is how they screw you right there. It's an absolutely perfect example of the way they screw you. It sounds completely right. Yeah, no illegitimate claim. Yeah, I like that. No illegitimate claim. But what's illegitimate? Well, for them, it's anything the so-called Holy Constitution says. Until you look and see the Constitution itself has no legitimacy. And all these made-up rules have no legitimacy. And if you understand what Bastiat's actually saying, which he clearly does, even though he references them later, and I had to go listen to a part of his other show from the night before, you can just see he completely and totally turns it all on his head. Completely and totally turns it all on his head. I hope that's clear to people. When you understand what an income tax is, that it's supposed to be taxing income. Income is defined as something that's above and beyond whatever was put into it. That's what income is. That's why you take all the work you did in a company and you deduct out all the expenses, like at a grocery store. And then once you've deducted everything out, whatever you're left with at the end, that's what you get taxed on. Well, if they got taxed on everything they brought in, all the revenue they brought in a business, well, they spent all that revenue paying salaries and everything else. An average business may run on 10%, maybe. That's a pretty good business profit margin if you have net taxable income after all the other deductions and everything else. It's 10% of all the revenue you took in. That's pretty good. A grocery store runs on like 2%. So if they were taxed on everything at the taxable rate, they could never make a living. They could never, ever, ever run a profit. It'd be totally impossible because a little amount of profit, if say you had 10% profit, well, if you got taxed at say 25% rate on all 100% of it, then you'd be losing money. You'd have no profit because the profit and all the deductions, they would all be taxed equally. They would all be taxed equally. That's exactly what they do to individuals. Everything you earn as an individual, when you go out and work, unless it's a gift, which your job's not a gift, they are paying you what you're worth. They're paying you for what you're worth, which was supposedly, he just told us, we own. It's all part of our personal freedom. That's what James Madison even said. So the idea that they can simply tax you on what you're paid for exchanging your life skills and time and limited amount and freedom and all the other stupid shit he just said, that they can tax you on all of that? That's ridiculous. It's all 100% deductible and untaxable. There is nothing extra at the end of the time because you're paid exactly what you're worth according to capitalism in the market. Anything they pay you over and above what you're worth would have to be a gift to you. And your employer's not making a gift. He's not making a gift. And so everything he just said, just a perfect explanation, perfect opportunity to show people what frauds these constitutional conservatives are, because they believe that the government has a legitimate claim to that, to tax you when you don't consent to it. You don't consent to it. You have no opportunity to consent to it. It's completely absurd. There's absolutely no income there. They treat you like a serf, that the government owns all of your labor. You're not entitled to deduct anything. You go out and improve yourself. I went to law school. I spent all sorts of time, money, effort, getting those skills. I get no deduction for it. I still have to pay as though I have absolutely no basis in any of the stuff that I spend, all the time, effort, nothing whatsoever. And in fact, when I'm a practicing lawyer, if I get stiffed on a fee, if a court doesn't pay me and I was working by the hour, I can't deduct that. I can't write that off. I just have to eat that. But if a business is a corporation doesn't get paid, they can deduct it. The whole tax code is simply proof that the government treats you as a slave, and the guy just completely runs past it, doesn't even see how ridiculous and hypocritical his entire explanation and pretending to be for Madison and natural rights and owning yourself and all that shit, how it's 100% totally ignored by the government, which he then turns around and backs and calls legitimate. It's just an utter and complete fraud. It's just an utter and complete fraud. I don't know if people understand that because it's a somewhat subtle point, which I hope I've made. But now I want to play a little bit more of it because he does some more hilarious stuff in here. And I think I am going to see if I can get through the entire clip I was hoping to. All right, let's continue this now that you've seen that.
Nobody gave it to you.
That's right. It's not a gift.
You did this.
Right.
With your time, with your sweat, with your blood, with your tears, with your sacrifice and your family sacrifice, day in and day out, you did this.
You see how damaging that is? You see what a hypocritical position they take? Do you see how income tax proves that every single thing they're talking about, legitimate claim, all just utter crap? He just makes my case again.
So when some potentate, whether it's a king or an attorney general in New York, steps in and says, I'm taking it from you, under the mirage or cover of a never-used statute,
then that's wrong. But if he does it under this made-up constitution shit that nobody's ever agreed to, that has no legitimate authority once you understand the real arguments and violates natural law in 1,000 ways, then that one's okay. See, those are legitimate. But if a king does it, oh, that's not legitimate. But if this ridiculous government with no real authority does it, that's fine. That's constitutional. We defend that. It's a fundamental problem that's going on in this country right here, all summed up in this clip this guy's making.
In front of a radical judge.
Radical judge.
Both elected Democrats.
None of that makes any difference. They have no authority whatsoever. Doesn't matter if they're so-called properly elected. Makes no difference. Nobody can ever delegate to them the absurd authority they purport to have because no individual has that authority. The government could never have gotten the authority. All these things I've been going over again and again with Spooner.
Hi, it's Legal Man. I hope you're enjoying the show. If you appreciate the unique insight and information I provide, then go over to my Patreon account for The Quash and become a member. I have bonus shows and material, early access, and it's a good place to meet like-minded people. I have people ask me all the time, what can we do, Legal Man? Well, start by voting with your pocketbook. It's the only vote that really counts. Support things that tell people the truth. Getting people to understand the truth is the only solution we have to this insanity. Look, I get it. There are a lot of people who can't afford to support my show with money. But there are a lot of people who can. And if you can and you like the show, you should support it. That's what free markets look like. The people running this scam, they have unlimited funding. I don't have support of that system. In fact, I get harassed because I tell people the truth that they don't want the people to know. So we have to stick together. So go sign up. Now let's get back to the show. Nobody can ever delegate to them the absurd authority they purport to have because no individual has that authority. The government could never have gotten the authority. All these things I've been going over again and again with Spooner. You can see how they deceive people with this con nonsense, drive it into this red versus blue nonsense. When the reality is the problem is the government itself, the construction of government, the belief in this so-called legitimate government, my holy constitution, the holy ratification, just makes a complete and total joke of the whole thing.
The attorney general said she was going to get Trump and she uses this statute.
Why does it have any authority to do anything like this?
That is an attack on your liberty. It is an attack on your humanity.
So look at how he frames it up when it comes to Trump, but just ignored in all these other areas. When they make up arbitrary rules, tell you can only put so much water in your tank here and flush in your toilet there, and they're going to set the tax rate at this and give this person an exemption, that's all completely fine. That's all legitimate. That's not an oppressive tyranny. No, no, no. But when the Democrats do it to somebody, then it is. See, it's all nonsense, people.
That's not about doing justice.
They're not about justice.
That's the opposite.
Yes, it is. Correct.
Remember what we talked about, Bastiat, last night?
And I had to go back and pull that show, and I will post it as well. You got to go to about an hour and 20 into it for him to hear his discussion of it. And it's hilarious because, once again, he reads from Bastiat for like 3 or 4 minutes, then completely and totally bastardizes him. Makes it seem like law that Bastiat's talking about is constitutional law, made up positive statutory horse shit. It's not. It's natural law like Spooner's talking about. It's a total deception. Now he's going to talk about how they basically use the law to commit crime. Yes, of course they do. The entire government's criminal. I've told you again and again, but again, they accept it out because it's the Constitution that somehow gives them cover. It's utter nonsense, people.
That is using the law to commit a crime against an individual and their property rights and their freedom.
And what is the government doing now? All it does is that. But he gives them cover. You see how deceptive this is.
And then self-righteously claim that you're enforcing the law.
He's Mr. Law and Order for all these arbitrary made-up things. This is the hypocrisy of the con-cons on display.
When you're committing a crime that...
Oh, my God.
That is camouflaged by the law, God, and you use the law.
God! So damning.
That's why there's an Eighth Amendment to the Constitution.
Now I talked about the stupid Eighth Amendment. Like, that protects me. Some made-up shit that would not be necessary. If anything he said about natural law and illegitimacy and everything else was actually understood and not constantly twisted and contorted to cover up this criminal enterprise called government that he imagines is some fantastic thing if we follow the Constitution. It's such shit. It's hilarious to me. The Eighth Amendment. The states did not insist on having those stupid amendments in order to protect themselves from the state's own actions. It literally makes no sense. And he goes into this and the 14th Amendment, how the Supreme Court, just every kind of nonsense. Listen to this shit. He's trying to claim that these excessive fines and bails, that part of the amendment was put in to protect them also from the state's own action. It makes no sense. If you're an individual state and you're joining in with other states and you're going to create this other thing, you need protection of the other thing doing something to you. That's what the federal government is to the states. That's why everybody prior to the Civil War knew that the Bill of Rights did not apply to the states. It doesn't make any sense. The state, if it's afraid of something like that, simply doesn't pass the law. The state is in position to regulate itself with regard to its own laws. What it was concerned about is laws being passed that it had no control of at the federal level, that then they couldn't have enough votes to stop. That's what the amendments were about. They weren't about the people being protected from their own states. That makes no sense.
But of course, the Supreme Court, after the 14th Amendment was passed, which it was never even properly ratified, dreamed up this incorporation doctrine, started partially and completely and intermittently incorporating them so that the entire governmental structure, even to the states, could all be centrally controlled by this lever at the Supreme Court. It's utter nonsense. His entire argument about states' rights and individuals all turned on its head by the thing he then attempts to use, which is the incorporation doctrine, to prove that the fine assessed against Trump was a violation of the Eighth Amendment. It's just utterly ridiculous how confused this is.
Because the men who wrote the Constitution and later the Bill of Rights were well aware of what happened in Britain. They're well aware of what happens with a centralized power.
Right. He's making my point. They're well aware of it. Has nothing to do with the stuff they can control. It has to do with the stuff that they don't have control of. They have control in their own state of what their own state does. They're concerned about what the federal government did, which they don't have sole control of. So dumb, man. So ridiculous the way people
believe this shit. The Eighth Amendment's
rarely
talked about for a lot of reasons. Among the most important is that the media, academia, law professors, most of whom are socialist / Marxist, only want you to be aware of it.
Okay, here it is. Classic example trying to turn into a red versus blue thing. I'm showing you how the con argument he makes is way worse in deception. Way worse because it's confusing the people we need. It's confusing them. It's leading them to believe this guy's on your side for individual liberty while he supports this huge tyrannical government. It's utterly ridiculous and nonsensical. It just wants to drive it into red versus blue. All the problems with the commies. No, the problem is with this criminal enterprise called government that's totally illegitimate and has absolutely no legitimate authority. None whatsoever. And anyone who reads Spooner will hear that. Anybody who listens to my shows on Spooner will see it. And he never discusses Spooner. So convenient, he brings up Basquiat, who never talks about the U.S. Constitution. How convenient. And then he distorts and completely and totally misinterprets Basquiat and twists it. It's incredible.
Excessive bail shall not be required.
Who cares?
Nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted.
Okay, so who cares?
And they've used the Eighth Amendment to try and protect people on death row, particularly if they're younger and so forth, excessive punishments.
Okay, I got you.
But in 2018...
Oh, here we go.
A case was brought by a man who had some drug paraphernalia.
This is a hilarious case I'd never heard of, but it's part of when they incorporated in the Eighth Amendment to the states, which he's going to bring up. And of course, it's about drugs. Always is about drugs. Again, the government, no government has any authority to regulate these drugs. So he's completely fine with all these regulation of drugs and all this road banditry that goes on with the confiscation of all these fucking assets under these outrageous civil forfeiture laws, which they engage in all the time. You get caught with some little amount of shit. They want to take your car. That's what this case was about. And you'll see how funny it is that the guy's completely fine with all the stuff that goes on. And the Eighth Amendment, again, has nothing to do with it. The state of Indiana's Supreme Court ultimately held it was fine. They were allowed to take his stupid car from him. Well, the people in Indiana need to fix that. Not look to the U.S. Constitution, but instead he has to constantly promote the Constitution as being the protector and blah, blah, blah. So it's just a completely and totally disingenuous argument where they want both sides of the state rights and the individuals and then the centralization with the protection by the Eighth Amendment in a way that makes no sense whatsoever with the original drafting of the document. The amendments to the Constitution make absolutely no sense the way they're interpreted by the incorporation doctrine. If he's such a strict constitutionalist and all this other shit he claims to be, then he should hold up any incorporation doctrine of these Bill of Rights against the states as utter nonsense because it makes no sense. But that's not what he does. He holds it up whenever he likes it. Just like liberals do. They bring up shit when they like it. They ignore it when they don't.
In his Land Rover.
Yep. Gets $1,200. Just some shit. Nothing.
The drugs and the drug paraphernalia amounted to about $1,200.
I mean, think how fucking stupid this is. That people are okay with any of this. That this isn't the problem. That the problem is this other thing in a way to help Donald Trump.
So what happened was, he was punished. It was brought to court.
Punished. For non-crime.
But they confiscated his Range Rover, which was worth $42,000.
Fucking road bandits. How can people back the blue with this shit? They take all these assets and they sell them. They buy themselves new shit and everything else. This is criminals. This is exactly what he was talking about earlier. This is the violation he's talking about. This is the outrage. The man is doing something that's not a crime. It's not a crime. It's a made-up crime. It's not a real violation of law. And then the government stepping in under the color of law, under the guise of law, and committing a crime against him by taking him, arresting him, fining him, trying to take his car from him. And he's turning around and acting like this shit is all constitutional and makes sense that the Constitution saved us. It's so insane. I can't believe people buy this shit. Listen to this.
They, effectively the state, the town. And this occurred in Indiana.
Okay. All right. Move it along.
And so it's called the Timms case, T-I-M-B-S.
Okay,
move it
along.
It was issued in 2019.
Okay.
He brought the case in 2018. So it's a very recent Supreme Court case, United States.
Okay, he's right on top of it. All these made-up
So the district court agreed that part of the penalty was excessive under the Eighth Amendment.
There you go.
The appellate court in Indiana agreed that that part of the Eighth Amendment was excessive.
Okay.
The Supreme Court of Indiana said, no, it's not excessive. And by the way, the Eighth Amendment doesn't even apply. It's a federal matter.
Bingo. Hilarious. The absurdity of the so-called justice system on display. District court makes a finding. Appellate court confirms. Supreme Court of Indiana says, no, that's not excessive. There's absolutely nothing. This is not tethered to anything. Just a bunch of made up shit. I suspect it wasn't even a unanimous opinion. There's no pointing out the absurd, arbitrary, unjust nature of this entire process. Nope. Nope. That's all fucking great. All just to make this single point.
The Bill of Rights. It's a federal matter.
Yes, it is. Correct.
It's not incorporated to apply to the states under the 14th Amendment. Now, as a footnote, when you look at the Bill of Rights, the first eight, the ninth and tenth part, have nothing to do with the states. It's all about protecting you from this new national government.
So he knows.
But over the course of many decades, the Supreme Court has slowly applied.
Right. How?
Incorporated. It's called incorporation doctrine.
Literally no basis whatsoever, completely made up, based upon an amendment, the 14th Amendment, that was never actually even properly ratified, not even close. I've made multiple shows about that, too. All of that is just ignored. It just goes on and acts like this shit the Supreme Court does procedurally through the so-called Constitution is all we have to focus on in order to be in compliance with Boss Jihad. It's so fucking stupid.
The First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Third, Fourth, Fifth, Sixth.
So dumb.
To the states.
Yeah, okay.
But what about the Eighth?
Well, move it along.
What about cruel and unusual punishments inflicted? What about excessive fines imposed in particular?
That should all be handled in your own state. It should be very easy. And as I said, the very fact that you got these completely and totally opposite decisions by the courts, district court, yes, excessive. Appellate court, yes, excessive. Supreme Court of Indiana, no, not excessive. What absurd nonsense, right? That can't all be true. It just shows you that it's just arbitrary, made-up nonsense. But he's fine with all that. He's always fine with that. So now we're at the holy Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court ruled that the taking of Mr. Timms Range Rover, in addition to the other penalties, over a $1,200 criminal act, was an excessive fine under the Eighth Amendment.
Okay, so you have excessive, excessive, not excessive, excessive. This is arbitrary nonsense. Again, utterly made up nonsense. He doesn't comment on it.
It ruled further.
Oh, okay.
The Eighth Amendment does, in fact, apply to the states.
Oh, okay.
By way of the 14th Amendment Due Process Clause, and that's what they use to incorporate the other parts of the Bill of Rights, the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment.
See? So it's just made up. They not only just arbitrarily inject themselves when there is no actual jurisdiction because they've never incorporated, they bring it up in order to incorporate it through this made up thing based upon this amendment that's never been ratified. It's utterly nonsensical. And this is the fantastic system he promotes. This is every single thing about constitutional conservatism on display for what a load of shit it really is. It really pisses me off that people like this have audience of tens of millions of people. when they're so deceptive about this stuff. It's utterly impossible for me to believe that he is unaware of Lysander Spooner and instead only knows about Basquiat. And it's also completely impossible for me to believe that he doesn't understand Basquiat, because this man is very bright. And he's a leading figure. He is the number one constitutional conservative attorney in the United States in media, bar none. He's so far above. And that is the way he presents material. That is incredibly deceptive. Incredibly deceptive on every fundamental point. Sounds like he's completely on your side until you hear my explanation. Then you realize how much he's not on your side. All he does is promote and defend and apologize for this tyrannical state that has absolutely no legitimacy whatsoever. None! Especially under Basquiat. That's ludicrous. Basquiat's turning over in his grave being used like that to defend this shit. Like I said, you can go listen to the other. I considered making a show about that. I still may. Go to, like I said, to about an hour and 20 minutes into that other one I'll link from the day before. I think it was February 20th. And you can hear it. And you'll see how he reads Basquiat there. And then he just turns out to, it's like, well, he's actually defining the law that Basquiat's talking about there to somehow be Constitution and anything that's made under the Constitution, which is so far from what Basquiat was talking about. So, so incredibly far. Literally turning the entire thing on its head. And I just thought it was amazing. It had so many pieces in there, the income tax, the property tax, the arbitrary nature of these judicial opinions, completely and totally flipping things like Basquiat, which would might lead somebody to Spooner, very cleverly leaving out Spooner, talking about all the natural rights you have and the fact you own yourself and your person, your being, and all the hard work and everything else, leaving out all the shit about the income tax and the absurdity and the tyranny of that, just leaving it all out, leaving it all out. So that's it. That's the piece I wanted to play. That's the show I wanted to make. Like I said, will I ever make a show about the other piece he did on Basquiat? I haven't decided, but I think that is incredibly powerful, incredibly telling, unbelievably damning to the constitutional conservatives. I think it really, really, really shows what a fraudulent, incredibly fraudulent legal movement it is, and how it is simply designed to drive people into a ditch, and how clever it is, how clever it is. The vast, vast majority of people, certainly what he calls backbenchers, they're never going to catch on to that. Most of those people are just useless losers in local markets that don't know the first damn thing. All they do is parrot slogans and phrases and talk about the liberals being bad. This guy's actually a thinker. And he's really, really, really impossible for me to believe that he does not understand exactly what he's doing. It's really impossible for me to believe. Is it possible he could be doing? Yes, it's possible it could be innocent. But I would have to see an incredible amount of proof to believe that. An incredible amount of proof. So there you go. That's it for today. I'm sorry I got kind of pissed off about that. I was fine when I was listening to it. I was laughing like I usually do. Like when I'm listening to these things normally, when I'm not making a show about them, I'm laughing about them. And then when I start making a show, it just gets me so pissed off when I think about how many people he's deceiving with this shit and misleading. And how many people parrot the same nonsense he just did over and over in social media and vote based upon it and believe in the country and run around. And people that sign up to fight for the country and all this other crazy shit they do. Defend this criminal activity going on based upon the Constitution and all this crap. It just really, really, really starts to piss me off when I look at it and think about it. It really does. So, well, the project on the Barnum statements or Barnum World is out. You can find it at Indiegogo. I'll put a link in there as well. And I hope people go over and support that project. If people don't support the project, we won't do the project. But if people like the project and think the project can make a difference, then we're going to do the project. And I think the project's just got a tremendous amount of potential. I really think it's got a lot of potential. When you understand Barnum statements, you can really understand and pick it apart immediately. You can pick on that idea. Illegitimate. Oh, illegitimate. What is that? What does he mean by illegitimate? And you can start digging into that. It really can fine-tune your ear to listen to the lies and propaganda that everything runs on. Everything runs on. So, like I said, go over there and support that project. And anybody who does support it, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Like I said, we'll make the project if we get the support. And if we don't, then we won't make it. It's just that simple. And if you want to follow me, you can. I'm Legal Man at U.S. Crime Review on Twitter. And you already know about Jones Plantation. where I play Mr. Jones. Go on over to JonesPlantationFilm.com and support that film. Buy some merchandise, a t-shirt, cup, hat, something like that. Watch the movie, pass it around. It's a great way to introduce people to these kinds of ideas and open their minds to the fraud that is the system they are stuck under. And beyond that, I don't have anything else, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. You guys have been a great audience as usual. Everybody have a nice night or day wherever you are. Take care.
Thank you, everybody. Let's put your hands together one more time for Legal Man. Great show. Thanks so much. Get to tip your servers on the way out.
More quash.